Welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show, folks. This is Tony coming to you from New Zealand. And with me for the second time on the A Minute to Midnight show, I have Keith Malcolmson in Ireland. Welcome, Keith.
Hey, Tony. Good to be with you again.
Yeah, it is. I'm sure this will be an interesting discussion. And just off air, we were briefly talking about how crazy things have got in the world. And we're going to be seeing more and more of it as time goes on. But it's certainly unsettling times. In fact, actually, I said to Holly, my wife, earlier this evening, I said, you know, it's hard to believe. There's just nowhere you can look in the world where it seems like it isn't happening, where it's nowhere you can go, this is a safe place, it'd be really nice to be there, or whatever. I know in New Zealand, we always thought New Zealand was the safest place in the world, and I guess Americans thought America was great, and I'm sure Ireland probably did too. But I'm looking at it, and I said to her, well, it's never happened before in history, I don't think, where there's nowhere that's like settled and everywhere is going down the same path and playing to the same playbook. And that, I guess, must mean it's the end times.
Yes, brother. I mean, it is utterly extraordinary what's happening. And I mean, again, I've done the very same with Candace, my wife, you know, discussing what country could we go to, but there isn't. It actually is global. And it reminds me just what you're saying there, Gary Cav, America, who's spoken a lot on these things. I mean, his father fled from Nazi Germany. His mother fled from communism coming in, and they met and married in America. But Gary Cav always said, he said, in that scenario, they could flee to somewhere, but in a global government, where do you flee when all of this is united? And I believe that's a very strong argument and a very strong warning, is that this is a utterly unique hour. And I just can't believe it. Like, you're watching this whole change of our world, every area of it. And as someone who's believed the Bible, I've always known this would come. And yet it's almost like surreal, and you're in shock and going, yes, I must be dreaming. This cannot be real. Our world has changed, and yet the entire population is going with it.
I think that's the thing that's so hard to grasp, is the fact that people in general seem to be totally brainwashed and going along with everything that's going on. I mean, the leadership everywhere has been set in place, I think, deliberately. They've put people in power for this hour, the global elite, and so they're going along with the playbook. But the brainwashing has been so good for so many years that the public in general in every country seems to be going along with it. You get a certain amount of protesting and things going on, but the majority of people are just delusion, in delusion, I think.
Yeah, mostly conformists. You know, on Sunday I was talking to two of the young men in the church, and they were saying all their young guys that they used to hang about with on drugs and music and all the rest, and who they're all very close with and used to get high with. And yet they said all these guys with their crazy hairdos and studs in their nose, whatever, I mean, these are all the ones falling into line. And both of them said, they'd said to their mates, why are you conforming to all of this? And say, well, you have to think of others. So it's like a whole generation. We're now the nonconformists. We're the radical ones who are standing out. But you go, it's remarkable, straight from the teenager straight through to the oldest, they're walking in line with us. And here the Irish are a rebellious people, not wanting to pay water charges, think the only country in Europe doesn't pay water charges. If there was even a whisper of that 2-3 years ago, the entire nation would cry out. Now this, there is no reaction. And like you say, it's minimal. There are people who are very strong against it, but it's very minimal. And you go, you know, if this is how far they've taken us and there's no resistance, where is it going to go next? But I believe it puts backbone in people like you and me. And I think we're going to see a lot of people who maybe wouldn't have been noticed in a normal era. People who are quiet, people who just blend into normality. But I really believe that courageous people are going to arise in the midst of this. I've got no doubt about that. and a great trial, great opposition, it's going to raise up people who are going to shock us.
You could be right. I mean, I think I'm, well, I know for myself, it's like you set the sort of sword down into the sand and you go this, you know, no further, like, you know, the lentil patch in the Bible's this far and no further, you know.
Yes.
And I've certainly got that feeling about it. And yet I think there will be so many people that when the pressure comes on, they're just thinking, well, we may as well just take this vaccine because what's the harm in it? Everyone else is doing it. We want to be able to go to the supermarket or whatever. And so more and more people will roll into that. And then I think as they get more and more people falling into that line, is there going to come a point where they go, right, it's mandatory because they've got so many people in it? I don't know. I'm hoping not.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's definitely building towards it. There's no doubt because, I mean, already here in Ireland, if you've had the vaccination, any amount of people can meet in a home. But if you haven't had the vaccination, you can only have one family to your home. And this is building and building. And there's no doubt there was someone in the British Parliament just two weeks ago, who actually said that for church gatherings, that double vaccination is going to be compulsory. Now, of course, that isn't in legislation. That's someone standing up in the government throwing out that statement. But we're not imagining this. This is what they're doing. And I know people who several months ago were radically against vaccinations. Now, the strongest are beginning to question that. Even this week, I've had emails from some people just saying, are we right? Are we wrong? Am I making a mistake? Maybe I've got, you know, so there's a lot of pressure going on. And I think that's where, you know, you actually have to look at facts. I learned this in my early 20s. I was deceived by certain Christian groups and extremes. And one thing I learned out of that, you can't go by feelings or emotions or thoughts or impressions. You have to go with fact. And that ought to be the great strength of a Christian. We go by the written scriptures. We know what is going to happen. We're given remarkable exact details about what is just about to happen, not what has happened, but what is about to happen. And it's all coming together. So we ought to be very, very clear. But the only way around deception is not to go with feelings or sentiment, but to deal with the facts. And you've got to be so strong in facts in this hour.
When you have governments everywhere coercing people on the one hand and then putting carrots in front of people on the other hand and offering incentives like money if you get the jabs and if you don't, you know, the people are getting angry and saying you're killing my grandmother or whatever. It doesn't matter that vaccinated people are actually spreading it. And that's becoming more and more obvious in the last week or two as more and more articles come out. But that the facts don't matter, those facts, because people have the sentiment that the media has told them and they are pushing it more and more. And so, it's sort of like you got to look at it and think this has to be a delusion for it to happen on this scale.
And it's a lack of thinking, you know. I mean, I love this whole realm of the mind, and I believe they're really after the mind of men, and that's why they're going towards the brain chip. The great thing they're after is not only our bodies in this internet of bodies, but also after the brain. It's a real target. And what we're seeing now is a real psychological warfare, maybe the biggest we've seen in world history, really making a grab for the thinking, the psychology of man. And what's interesting, like you say, the past week or two, I've seen the flip in the argument. So now they're admitting about blood clots and even deaths with the vaccination. So they're admitting this, but the arguments they're using, they wouldn't allow us to use for COVID deaths. So now they're saying, oh, it's minimal and et cetera, et cetera. And well, look at car deaths and there's danger with everything. And so there is with vaccines. And you go, and if you listen to that, it sounds strong until you go, hold on a second. we were not allowed to argue that for COVID deaths. Yeah. And, it was less than 1% at its worst. And you go, so we weren't allowed to argue that. Now they're using those arguments. People have to think in this hour. They've got to stop and think. And because so much is happening every single way, I none of us can keep up with this daily.
Yeah.
If you don't stop and go, hold on, remember facts from the past year and a half. Remember where we've come from. Sit down. If you don't do that, you get carried away. And it's overwhelming. And I believe it's nothing compared to what's going to happen the next year or the next 3 years if things carry on.
Well, I'm reminded, as you were talking about the mind, Revelation chapter 17, I'll just read a little bit, and it says from verse 12, the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. And then verse 13 is interesting. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. And that whole being of one mind takes on a whole different meaning in today's world than it ever could have before.
Yeah, yeah. It is remarkable. And you actually see this, that on a very wide scale. I mean, these things have gone on for so long. I listened, a man who used to lecture the CIA just recently, he was speaking 3-4 years ago, and it's shocking what they'll actually admit. And they were doing tests where a monkey hitched up to the internet could move the other monkey's hand.
Hmm.
Now, this is top professional people talking through these things. And I was shocked in that. I mean, it was an open forum, and he is discussing about psychology and populations and all. And, of course, they justify it. But we need to realize that using psychology, pharmaceuticals, and now technology, that all these realms, we've had people actually experimenting. And even with the World Economic Forum, I mean, just a year and a half ago in one of their main forums at Davos, and they're discussing, they're actually talking in an open forum with their main speakers, international speakers, and talking about at what point do we allow free will or respect free will. I mean, they're discussing this with technology and medical drugs, that how they can influence the psychology, the will, the desire, the choices of people. And this amazed me with Klaus Schwab's books as well, that, do you know, the past year, Tony, I mean, the past year and a half, I'm not a born skeptic. I'm a taught skeptic. And the Bible has made me that. I'm not naturally skeptical, but I've trained myself through the Word of God to test things, to scrutinize, to judge all things. I mean, that's what we're allowed to do and commanded to do in the Bible. You just don't gullibly believe everything, whether from a pulpit or whether in society. So I'm a taught skeptic. It's come with years. It's come with training. It's come with practice. I still discipline myself, still with my wife. I tell her, no, where's your facts? And she'll do the same with me. So we sharpen each other, you know, on these things. But we really need to come to this point of really scrutinizing things and looking at things. But, I mean, do you know, the past year and a half, I would doubt that this is real. I keep asking myself, is this really real? But the thing is, men like Klaus Schwab wrote in their books 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and in open public statements have talked about changing DNA, of affecting and influencing the brain, the emotions. So the past year and a half, I hear so-called conspiracy theories saying about changing the DNA. My natural reaction is, I can't believe it. I can't believe it.
Mm.
But then I go to these books from three years ago, World Economic Forum books, and they're speaking openly. And then I start reading the science things, and, you know, you're actually going, this isn't imagination. they have explicitly stated these things. They know where this is going.
And the arrogance of these people to think that they know everything and are so superior to the rest of us that they have the authority in their mind to shape the world and drive the world in the direction that they want it to go in and send us all along with their direction, though I think ultimately they're tools and puppets of Lucifer or Satan, and so they're just doing their master's bidding. But in their minds, they will think that they're better than the rest of us or have the mandate to be able to control everything that everyone else does that they know best.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is why I love history as well, Tony. And, I've always, from a kid, I loved history. I loved church history. I love the history of revivals. But I just went back the past week or two and I was reading H.G. Wells' The Open Conspiracy. And it's called The Blueprint for a World Revolution. And, I mean, you actually can't believe these guys put this stuff in print. And, I mean, his books, I mean, that was printed 1928. And he's actually told there, how do we make this open conspiracy? So he certainly believed in conspiracies. The politicians he mixed with in the 1920s, they believed in conspiracies. And he's talking that book, how do we make the conspiracy public, open, and get everyone to accept it? In other words, we tell them publicly. And I believe that's where we're at right now. I believe that's what's happening over the past year, is we're at the point where they want to tell it openly. They want it explicit. They want everyone hearing it. And look, they're making this public and everyone's going with it. So they're going to become increasingly bold, I believe, over the next year.
I think you're right, because people have shown that by and large they jump when the master says jump, and they're basically sheep, so they'll continue to follow. And there are some that aren't. Obviously, you see big protests in France and London and that, but it's still a minority.
Yeah, and I mean, it's encouraging to see these demonstrations. And I mean, in Spain and Italy, even in the Italian parliament, where it was politicians demonstrating about the vaccine passport coming in. So there really is a reaction. And to be quite honest, I think a lot more people are worried than are acting or responding.
Yeah.
It's always the minority who respond. But most have concerns. To be quite honest, I think most, say in Ireland, who have been getting the vaccine, most of them, certainly that I've spoken to, have concerns and increasingly have concerns. And I've heard a lot from Britain that people who have taken the vaccine are now wishing they hadn't.
Yeah.
So there is a double take generally where people are going, hold on, I've taken the vaccine, I still have to wear a mask. Still have to keep distance. There's still restrictions where we still have all of this lockdown, and yet we've gone the full hog. We're doing everything we've been told, and yet still after a year and a half. So most people have towed the line. Most people have done what governments have said for a year and a half. Why are we still locked down then? If it's only a minority, you know, that are not going with this. But do you know, with these demonstrations, I mean, I think a lot of people can't get to them. But they're massive compared to the BLM demonstrations.
Yeah.
BLM was absolutely small, and yet it was enlarged and it affected our world. These demonstrations, Tony, are literally, they're massive compared to anything we've seen maybe in our lifetime. And it's a popular grassroots movement representing something bigger, and yet it's being ignored in British media. They will not put it on there, and BBC utterly ignores it. For Ireland or Britain or Europe, if there's a demonstration with thousands, the media, if they do mention it at all, they say there's a few hundred when there's a few thousand. If there's 100,000, they'll say it's 10,000. So they usually take it down to a tenth. And that angers people. That ought to alarm people.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to question vaccines. We're not allowed to. There's no news media. There's no country voice. We all have to go with this. Governments have become so strong. It's alarming.
It's interesting. So in New Zealand here, see, we've been kind of insulated from the world largely with this, and there's no social distancing, no masks for the most part here, no restrictions on life within New Zealand, and the vaccination rate is very low here at the moment. But I look across the Tasman to Australia and look at the heavy hand that's coming down in Australia, and protesters being arrested and fined and jailed and so forth to scare people. In fact, on the weekend in Sydney, I read that they had, I think, 1,300 police officers and some army out there ready to step in and stop demonstrations and send everyone home. Because the previous week there'd been large demonstrations, but there hadn't even been any demonstrations planned for the last Saturday. So all these police were out there for nothing, basically, because there wasn't a demonstration. But in New Zealand, we've been insulated from it. But what I can see is all they'll need to do here is have a random COVID Delta case explosion somewhere in New Zealand to instigate lockdowns and try and scare everyone into getting masks. And then it will be interesting to, vaccination and masks. But there was something in the media here on the weekend saying, well, if we get a Delta explosion here, then they'll need to have level 4 on steroids. Level 4 was our highest level in COVID-19 restrictions. So they're basically saying we'll need to lock down even harder if it happens again. So far we've escaped any of that in New Zealand, but I can see it coming because what the media starts throwing out these articles ahead of time to kind of like tell people, I suppose, in advance what's coming. So that'll be interesting to see what happens here, because really we haven't had what most of the world has had. I was in America for some months last year and went through the masks and the social distancing and all that, came back to New Zealand and it's like, where is it? You know, it was like everyone's going about life as normal. But they're trying to push the vaccines here now, of course. But I speak to so many people that are saying we're not going to get vaccinated, and people that say we don't want it. But, you know, there are still a lot of other people that are then shun those people and say, well, you should be getting it because you're going to kill my grandmother, kind of an argument. So it will be interesting to see where it goes in the next few months.
Yeah, do you know, I've got a theory with that, why it could be with New Zealand is with your Prime Minister. I think she's been at the forefront. I mean, I can trace comments of her speaking back to, 2015, 2014, about the Fourth Industrial Revolution.
Yeah,
I mean, she's on the cutting edge of that. She fully knows what it's about. So maybe they think, at least governmental-wise and institutionally, New Zealand's in the pocket. So, you know, they think it's a pushover. They don't need to worry about that. But I guess the areas where they think they're going to have most problems, they're really hitting hard.
You could be right. I certainly don't like the way our country is going in many areas, because it's not just COVID, it's all the other things, the hate speech laws and different things that are being introduced here, and slowly but surely strangling free speech. So it is happening, but it's like the frog in the pot, you know?
Yeah. And the heat's getting turned up radically. But you know, things are definitely moving ahead. I mean, there's no way this is standing still. It's not going to go back just to normal.
No.
Where we are, this is going to push on ahead. And they've had such success in a year and a half. Like, who would have thought governments would have strengthened and become so dictatorial, you know, within a short period of time? 2 years ago, that would have been thought impossible. People would have reacted to that. So it is moving ahead. And just an interesting one here that just came out in May in the UK through the Ministry of Defence. was their document called Human Augmentation.
Yeah, that's a frightening document. You're right.
It's unbelievable. I think anyone should download it while it's still there, I guess, on the British government website. I mean, it's on there.
Yeah.
It's got the official Ministry of Defence print and backing on it. And of course, they could say, well, we're only looking at these things and it's only a presentation. But to have it on there, it has to be the most remarkable document I have yet seen on a public forum.
Do you want to bring out the name of it again?
It's called The Human Augmentation, The Dawn of a New Paradigm. And it's a strategic implication project. And it was actually done in tandem with the German, Swedish, and Finnish defense forces. They all worked together upon this. But it's, do you know, again, everything I've ever said about the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Klaus Schwab, it's like all of this put together in its best format. It's a remarkable document. And if anyone has doubts or begins to question what is happening at the minute, they need to look at a document like that and it'll scare the wits out of them.
Yeah, it's 110 pages long. And, folks, you can download it as a PDF, 110-page PDF. You can also download as a PDF Klaus Schwab's Shaping the Future of the Fourth Industrial Revolution as a PDF. Between those two, you have a blueprint, really, for what's going on.
Yes. Yeah. You really do. And I mean, I think one of the pictures you have there in this document, and this is only from May, interestingly enough, I think it was one or two days after that, Canada released a similar document.
Yeah.
Same information from a different department for the government.
Horizons in Canada.
It's all transhumanism. Mm-hmm. So, and in fact, in this document, they actually blatantly admit that it is a transhumanist thing, that's where it's going, that's what they're talking about. And you're going, this is being promoted openly. And in one of the pictures on this book, it shows the progression of man evolutionary from an ape to the second picture is a man with a mobile in his hand, looking down, not concentrating. And suddenly you have three other pictures where it moves from technology on the outside of the body to a brain chip. Yeah. And you're going, this is the British government, the Ministry of Defence. I was a soldier for 5 years with the Royal Engineers, a combat engineer. And to think, I mean, it blows me away that this is a military document and it's talking about defence. And I mean, listen to this quote from it. It says, human augmentation may challenge or offend religious views and appear to give credence to other belief systems, such as transhumanism. And this entire document blows me away because, as they say, of course, ethics and morals and religious views will hinder this. And they're talking openly about changing the DNA, using drugs. They even talk about LSD in there, the use of LSD to experiment and change moods. But they're talking about changing the consciousness of man.
They talk about vaccines too in there.
Yes, yeah. And in one of the diagrams, it gives you all the contemporary things. On top of the list, they say vaccines.
Yeah.
And they show you step by step where it's going to go to over the next 20, 30 years. So what starts with vaccines suddenly becomes gene editing.
Yeah.
You know, and now with vaccines, I mean, they're talking by the end of this year, 2021, they want to go from a vaccine to a pill. And I've got no doubt when you read documentation like this and Schwab's book on Shaping the Fourth Industrial Revolution, they explicitly talk about using technology and big pharma, all these pharmaceuticals, about converging all of this and using it to affect man's brain. Now, if I wasn't a Christian, had never read the Bible, didn't know about Bible prophecy, the mark of the beast, I would be utterly shocked at this.
Yeah.
But all my life I've known this was coming.
Yeah.
And what is so shocking, Tony, is all my days I've believed this. Never once in my life have I said, oh, this is it. You know, every year there's conspiracy theories and the church people come out with ideas of scriptures and all. Almost every single year I've been saying, that's not it, that's not it, that's not it. You know, people have silly ideas or they go off on something with no fact or evidence. You know, the last year was the first time I come out, and when I began to read all of this, and I went there bringing this into the open forum, this is now it. COVID-19, this crisis is being used. And Klaus Schwab, I mean, he explicitly states it. He said, remember all of these things of transhumanism, of joining men with computer, of changing our lives, of a controlled society. And again, H.G. Wells' book, The Open Conspiracy, he constantly calls it the world state, a controlled society. He even talks about population reduction. Tony, we're not the ones who are saying this or making it up or getting it from someone in America. These are the men who have influenced our world from H.G. Wells all through to Schwab. They've written it. They're very open. They're explicit. We look at our Bibles and we know what hour it is, because the Bible explicitly says there'll be a mark on the right hand and the forehead without which you can't buy or sell. It'll be connected to a image of a political leader. Religion will be pulled in. Every area of society will be pulled in, and it will be introduced under the guise of world peace. And I mean, all these globalists, if you go back to H.G. Wells, you go back further to the French Revolution, all the old German and French philosophers, they talk about world peace, that world government is the key to world peace. And if you follow that through, from those early French philosophers all the way through the 18th century, 19th, 20th, now the 21st, all of these people read one another. Klaus Schwab is a globalist. He believes in a one world government. He speaks at the World Government Forum. He has done in the past. And he believes in an institution taking up an authoritative governmental role in the world. But you know what? All these men in the background, they're talking about peace. And that's what our Bible says. It says when they say peace, peace, all of this is going to be introduced in the whole realm of peace. The Antichrist, he will arise as a man of peace, signing peace covenants. So people need to be very aware. This is the most dangerous hour in world history. Even if I wasn't a Christian, I would say that. Even if I didn't have my Bible, I'd say that. But it's just reinforced with having a Bible in my hand. I know exactly what's going to happen. And you know what, Tony? From what I believed and was taught as a child, it's explicitly happening. I haven't had to change my views over the past year and a half. What if you listen to what I preached 4 years ago, I was warning about this, that it was at the door.
Yes, it certainly is at the door. And funny, I always had a feeling that I would be involved in some sort of end time ministry years ago and thinking I'd be here for it. And it seems to be that this is exactly what's happened, you know, in a timing that God obviously knew, not me.
Yeah.
But I'm watching these things unfold and thinking, wow, this every piece of this puzzle fits with the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel and so on and what we kind of were expecting would happen. I think the thing that has caught me off guard to some extent is just how rapidly the pieces are falling into place. It's just mind-boggling.
Yeah. I think seeing it in real time, you keep checking yourself.
Yeah.
And certainly I've so trained myself that I do question. I question myself, my ideas, my opinions, my thoughts. And that's a very healthy thing, because now we're moving into an age where you don't question, you don't ask. But I keep asking myself, is this for real? Is this for real? Is it actually happening? Are they actually doing this and getting off with it? It's almost like seeing a daylight robbery of And if you ever saw a real thief, I've seen them in operation in Limerick City. I've seen heroin addicts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on the high street of Limerick City. They're heroin addicts. I know them. And this guy would be high on drugs. So he doesn't even know, you know, I've witnessed him, told him about Christ before. I'm a friend, but it just doesn't click. And he's going down. I'm watching him go into all the businesses on the high street, testing all the doors. He's looking to get money for his drugs. And I'm watching him in the daylight. And you go, do you know, professional thieves? I had another friend. She was a bit of a professional thief from Wales. And she would say how she'll do it. These people are so confident that you just don't, you know, it's like the kid at school who never done anything wrong. As soon as they done it once, they always got caught. But the person who always do it, these people are so bold, and people in government are so bold at the minute that it's almost the populations are frozen and aren't questioning and aren't asking. No one would have accepted this 2 years ago.
No.
And yet they won't even open their mouth now.
Yeah.
And if you would have told them 2 years ago that they would have sat silent going along with this, allowing governments to make decisions without any parliamentary vote, without any open discussion, they would have said never. But it is happening.
And every country's chief medical officer, you know, or whatever they call them in a different country, is basically the person that's listened to. Oh, they say this, so therefore we must do this, 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 and this. Because, you know, you never would have believed that a medical officer would be the most powerful person in the world. But yet they have become that way. The other thing that I'm watching unfold like a slow train wreck is the global economy. And that's going to, you know, I look at the black horse of famine and I think, I can see where this is coming. And it's, I think, kind of fast track in some ways, but you can just see it, you know, unrolling and people are going along with it. Their businesses are being destroyed. People's livelihoods are being destroyed, but they're being propped up with fake money all the time. But that's going to come to an end. And so, I look at that as something that's happening in real time as well. So I guess we're sort of quite running out of time a bit. So, you know, what do we do? What would you suggest to people? What's the most important things that they can take out of this now at this time?
You know, something that, it's very encouraging. I find one of the most encouraging facts of the past year and a half, and it's extraordinary. And for a lot of months, I felt like I was the only one seeing it or saying it, but it started to increase over the past couple of months, I guess, is the people who are turning to Jesus Christ in a very real way. I'm talking about in the past year and a half, top New Agers. I heard of one just the other day, and a friend who's a missionary, he had shared my reset videos with him. But he said this top New Ager, who was about 75 years old and used to mock the gospel, just a year ago got born again. He used to mock Christ up to that point. He got born again and he had quite a following worldwide. And he come out and confessed the Lord Jesus Christ and said he changed and could see what is happening. I've got messages from just 3 months ago of atheists who are now born again. They've fallen in love with Jesus Christ. So there's a whole harvest of people who would never have thought about the things we're talking about, who have really come to faith in Jesus Christ. So all these people are coming in from the world. There's a whole new harvest, and it is amazing. And they're finding a warmth amongst genuine born-again Christians. They're finding a society that is real and free. I mean, really free in spirit. So that's one thing, you know, Tony, is that it's for people to be ready. You know, those who see what's going on but don't believe in God and don't believe in being born again or don't believe in Jesus, they're going to find themselves in a great crisis. Because this is going to continue. There won't be a revolution to throw this off. I don't believe that will happen. And this is going to increase. And I believe there's going to be two choices. It's either going to be this world system and transhumanism, or it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only place of freedom isn't in stockpiling. You know, I'm stocking up food on a practical basis, not anything crazy, just every week we stock up extra food. I think that's very wise at this present time. It's just a very practical thing. It's not being extreme, and just I think it's wise, because there is going to be more and more crises. But you know what? That won't do it. Having a farm in the back of beyond, where are you going to go in this hour to hide from this system? How will you function outside? And I know we can to a certain realm, but this is big, like, this is massive.
Yeah.
I believe the only place of true freedom, safety, and security will be in a simple relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, of having your sins forgiven, of finding he's real. And I'm the biggest one for saying, Tony, that you just don't swallow religion. I'm against most of what's called religion or Christianity, but I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the Bible is true. And people, they don't just believe blindly. If someone doesn't believe and know this Christ is true, you don't follow him blindly. You've got to know that this is real and prove it's real. And I believe in questioning. But I believe this is going to get so extreme, even many people who are listening to us and listening to this program, who love to hear what you share on your show and love to keep up with these things, but don't maybe believe the Christian side of it. I believe that increasingly over the next year, next few years, they are going to be driven to a crisis where they have nowhere else to go. And either they're going to become a part of this system, are they going to find the reality of Christ?
Yes, I think you're dead right on that. So what I'd like to do maybe before closing up is, firstly, if you could tell our listeners where they can find you online, and then maybe, if you don't mind, to close out with a prayer.
Sure. People can find us if they search Limerick City Church. And on YouTube, we have all of our videos on, at least at this present time, until there's a cyber attack or whatever. But we're on there. We also have a website, Limerick City Church. We have several hundred messages, like 15 messages on the Book of Daniel, that really open up the Book of Daniel. I'm sure people would be interested in that. And so people can find us there, find my books online, Scarlet Woman, that teaches about the last world religious political system again. But that's where you can find me. I'm very easy to find online. I'm not in hiding. But amen. Will I just pray now, brother?
That sounds good. Good to give people that information. And yes, if you could pray, that'd be great.
Yeah, amen. Father, I do thank you for this time. Just being real, we're not playing games with people's souls. We don't have any agenda. We just love you, Lord Jesus. I found that you're a real savior. I've watched my friends get saved out of drugs and drink and immorality, atheism, evolution, nor got out of crime. And we just love you. You're a miracle working God. You're so real. You do change the heart. You do change the life. And Father, I pray for everyone listening, even those who doubt what I might say in these things. Nor God, I pray, have mercy upon them. Show them that you're real. And Lord God, I thank you, you can be proved to be alive, risen from the dead, that you're a real Christ, and we love you. And I pray for your power, that even through this program, you're going to save people, that you're going to show your power, that you're a real loving God, that there's no agenda. You died in Calvary, and we love you, Lord Jesus. I do pray that souls are going to be drawn to you through this, and even Christians encouraged and strengthened in their walk with you to reach souls for Jesus Christ in this last hour. And for Tony and his wife, Holly, I do pray, bless them, oh God, use them in this last hour. Thank you that you do have voices, and we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Keith. That was another excellent discussion, and thank you for the prayer, and it's been great talking to you again.
Amen. God bless you, Tony, and all those that are listening to you.
And bless you too, and we'll have to do it again sometime.
Amen.
And folks, remember our website, aminutetomidnight.com, with midnight spelled M-I-D-N-I-T-E. Make sure, if you haven't already done so, that you go down the right-hand side of the website and enter your email address where it says subscribe to the blog, and that way you'll get notified of all of our videos and articles. We run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations, and if you want to help us, that's always greatly appreciated as well, and you can do that at the minutetomidnight.com website. The music used, I've written, played and recorded, and there is actually free music that I've made on the website too, which you can download if you want. So that's it for this episode. God bless, and God willing, we'll be back with another show in a few days' time.